Jesus is risen.
Jesus is risen.
And because he's risen, we are now alive in him. Amen?
Amen?
And because we are alive in him, we have today an ongoing ministry opportunity. Because of that, today we can stand and we can see that we can be in an ongoing ministry. You know, in every HR or HR department, when they want to interview a new employee, there is a bunch of questions that are asked from both parties. It is either the HR representative or the candidate. They have questions they want to ask and they need answer for it in order to see if they will be in this company. And usually the HR can ask questions like this. Can you tell me more about yourself? How does your background align with our company's goal? How you handle difficult situation at work? Why do you want to work for our company? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? From the other side, the candidate side, he can ask questions like, can you tell me more about the day-to-day responsibilities? What is the company culture like? How is success measured in this position? When can I expect to hear back from you? What is the salary range for this position, right? I think most of you either ask these questions or you are responding to these questions. In order that this contract be signed, both parties should be in agreement. Once the deal is made, both parties should meet the expectations and should respect what was agreed on. Well, this morning, Paul is calling for a ministry opportunity. While Paul was not sitting in an office and he's receiving applications, but in his second letter to Corinthians, at the end of chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6, Paul is introducing to us a position that he received. And now he's recruiting more people with him. Paul was receiving this position because of the one that you are celebrating his resurrection today. He received that position because of the one who conquered death. He received that position because Paul was saved from his sins. And now he stands in a different position. And Paul is recruiting with him more people who are product of this salvation and of this regeneration. So if you go with me to the second letter of Paul for the Corinthians, chapter 6, and we know that this is the second letter that we have as inspired, but Paul sent 4 letters to the church of Corinth. And we know that Paul was dealing with different issues in this church. And in his second letter, Paul was defending his apostleship. He was not defending himself, but he was defending his apostleship and his message and the gospel that he was sharing. Because there is false apostles, false teachers, they claim that they came from the church in Jerusalem saying that we are the true apostles. Do not believe what is Paul teaching because he is a wrong teacher. So Paul, again, he's not defending himself as Paul, but he's defending himself as the apostle of Jesus Christ. Because he was holding a message from Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this group was trying to add to the grace of God. They want to add to the grace of Christ. They want to add the law and the works on it, saying that this is not enough. They want to keep their old habit. So Paul is confronting them, and in 2 Corinthians 2:17, he says, "For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." They are spreading false gospel. They want to add works to the grace of God. So Paul is not defending himself in a selfish way, but he's defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. Arriving to this point, in chapter 6, Paul was saying that now we are servant of the new covenant. He's saying, while the old was good, the new is greater. He's saying the old was pointing to the new. In 5:15, Paul is defending the ministry of the new covenant. Christ died for his people. Now his people don't live for themselves anymore. Then in 5:16, he moves, they don't live by the flesh anymore. In 5:17, those who are in Christ are new creation. How they became a new creation, the answer is in verses 18 and 19 through the ministry of reconciliation made by Christ. Well, the question comes how this reconciliation was made, and Paul answered this question in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him, God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So now we arrive to this moment. This is the message of the gospel that Paul is taking. He's preaching this gospel, that while we are sinners, the righteous one took our sin, and now we stand in his righteousness. They wanted to add to it. But Paul is affirming that today, because of this righteousness, you got a job opportunity or a ministry opportunity. And this ministry opportunity is revealed for us in verse 20 in chapter 5. Sorry. So let's go together and start reading from 5:20 till 6:10. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now it is the acceptable time. Behold, now is it the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. This is the word of God. So based on this text, we will see together four things you should know as an ambassador concerning this position. And you should know these in order to be a good ambassador. So we'll see together four things that make you a good ambassador. One, the prerequisite for this position. Two, the privilege of this position. Three, the requirements in this position. And four, the reward of this position. So the prerequisite, the privilege, the requirements, and the rewards. Let's start first with the prerequisite for this position. Let's think together, who is required to take such position? Or who is qualified to take this position? Who can apply for this position? Well, if we go back to chapter 5, verse 19, Paul says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And as a good student of Dr. Clausen, you will see, therefore, what does therefore mean? This is the result of what Christ did by this work of reconciliation. Therefore, we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ. So in order to be an ambassador for Christ, first you should be reconciled to God. It is impossible that you represent God, that you represent the message of God, that you represent the gospel of Christ all over the world, and you are still enemy with God. So first of all, you should be reconciled to God. You should become from His children, and then you can represent Him as an ambassador. So as a prerequisite, you need to be saved. You need to be reconciled to Him. And then that's why Paul in verse 20, after saying that we are now ambassadors, he's talking about himself. Now he's moving and he's addressing his readers and us today. And he's saying, we beg you on behalf of Christ, you also be reconciled to Christ. Because this is not only about Paul being an ambassador, but about everyone who is now reconciled to Christ, he has the privilege to be an ambassador for Christ. So today we stand in front of this command that Paul is saying, we beg you, be reconciled to God. If you think with me, Paul was addressing this letter to this church, and in his mind, there is at least four kind of people in that church. There is one, the first group, who is the believers. Because Paul, in different times, he says the church of God, referring to the church of Corinth. And then he says those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints, by calling. So those are the believers in the church. And then we have also a different group, the confused believers. Those who are saved, but yet they are confused between the message of the false apostles and the message that Paul has. They are not sure what they are. And then we have the unbelievers. And guess what? Yes, in the church there is unbelievers. And Paul is addressing this group and he's saying, be reconciled to God. And the fourth group are the false teachers themselves. And Paul also is addressing this message for them, and he's saying, be reconciled to God. So among these four groups, what Paul wants, they want them to understand what is the grace of God. What is this message? Sometimes we don't appreciate the grace of God because we don't understand it. And remember, one of our teachers one time said that the grace of God is not as if there is a car dealer and standing in front of his shop, and then he sees like a homeless or a guy walking and tired, and he will call him and will say, hey, come in, and he will give him a car. This is not the grace of God. But the grace of God is this same guy who was walking or he's homeless, after the salesman closed his doors and went home to sleep, this guy went in and he crushed all the cars. He put fire in all the cars. He smashed everything. And the other day, the salesman came in and he saw that his shop is destroyed. And when he saw his shop is destroyed, he called this man and he took him to a different room and he gave him his Lamborghini. This is the grace of God. The grace of God that we took something we don't deserve. It is a combination of grace because we took something we don't deserve and a mercy that we didn't take what we deserve. So Paul is saying you cannot add anything to this grace. How can you preach a different gospel? So for this reason, Paul is saying, be reconciled to God. It is Him, it is by His work on the cross that today you stand in righteousness. And for those who are uncertain yet, confused, for the unbelievers and the false teacher, He is saying, be reconciled to God. And He stressed on it. He said, we beg you, be reconciled to God. And we just read If you go with me to 6 verse 2, and he's quoting from Isaiah 49, and he say, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why Paul is stressing on this? When he says the acceptable time, the day of salvation, now, what does this mean? It means that someday it will not be a day of salvation. There is days coming where salvation will not be found anymore. So that's why we need ambassadors to go and take this invitation, to take this message saying that now you can be saved, or it's coming a day that you cannot do this anymore. And you Americans are excellent in doing this. Why? Because you created a day for this. What I'm talking about. This is called an offer. And you created a day for this. Do you know which day? Black Friday. What is Black Friday about? It is about one day. It is in this day that you can shop and you will get this discount. Guess what? On Saturday, it's not Black Friday anymore. And Paul is saying this. Today, it is a day of salvation. Tomorrow, maybe it will not. So we, those who have been reconciled to God, we need to take this message with this time frame to all over the place saying, today is a day of salvation. We beg you, be reconciled to God. And today and this morning, I plead with Paul and I tell you, if you're not yet reconciled to Christ, run to him. We beg you, be reconciled to Christ, because we don't know what will happen tomorrow morning. Be reconciled to God through Christ. Today is a day of salvation. I urge you, turn from your sin, repent, because Jesus promised, the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. And we just read, he became sin on our behalf. He did what you cannot do, and made you who you cannot be. He died and rose to give you life. He took your sin and give you his righteousness. Be reconciled to him. Be reconciled to him. So we saw together that to be an ambassador, we are to be reconciled to God. And this was our first point, the prerequisite for this position. Let's see, second point, the privilege of this position. If you are searching for a job, for a career, you do your best to work with a company with good reputation, with clean history, not with a company that opened yesterday afternoon. You need something with history, and you need to look that this company should have a future. There is nothing that shows that will go bankrupt soon, right? Companies with big names. And if I tell you that this position, it is in the company, the owner of it is the creator of the world. What do you think? Do you want to get this position? In verse 1, Paul says, and working together with him. You are working with God. You are in business with him. David wrote in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Also, David wrote in 1 Corinthians, and he prayed, yours, O Lord, it is the greatest and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heaven and the earth, yours is the dominion. O Lord, you exalted yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor came from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and strengthen everyone. Paul in Romans writes, for him and through him and to him are all things. What do you think if I tell you you have a position under this boss? Do you want to work with him? Do you want to be in business with God? God has everything, and you are now invited to work with him. He will never be bankrupt, and he will never fire you. Do you want to work with him? It is a privilege. Friends, sometimes we forget of this privilege that we are in business with God. We work with him, and we work for him. We are working for and with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are working for and with the Creator of the universe. We are working for and with the one who bought us and saved us. And this should keep us on guard. We should keep us ready, faithful, diligent. If you know that your boss is working next door, you tend to work in a different way if you know that your boss is outside the country. Guess what? Your boss is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omniscience. We have to work faithfully and diligently. So this is our privilege, that we are working with God himself. We saw that we are to be reconciled in order to be ambassadors, and we are to keep in mind the privilege of this position, that we are working with him and for him. And now we'll move to point number 3, and we'll see the requirements in this position. The requirements in this position. Go with me to verse 1 again, 6:1. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Verse 3, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. There is a lot to unpack here, but let me summarize this. There is 3 main things here. He's saying that now we are servants of God. And we saw to become servant of God, we need to be reconciled to him. So now, being reconciled, we are to commend ourselves in everything. Why? So that this ministry will not be discredited. So we are servant. We need to work on ourselves for the reputation of this ministry. Paul is adding these 2 elements, the attitude and the reputation. How we should do it and why we should do it. And in verse 4, he says, in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. What does everything mean? Everything. Easy. But Paul is making sure that everyone understands what everything means, and then he lists 18 things in order to understand this everything. We'll not have time to work on all these 18. I will fly over them just to make sure that we can grasp that everything means everything. So he's saying in everything commending yourself, and he starts and putting foundation to all these everything in much endurance. So before starting, you should keep in mind you want to do this everything, you need to have this endurance in mind. And endurance means the capacity to hold out or bear up the face of difficulties. Pastor Johns put it this way, this is the most magnificent New Testament virtue, which is endurance. Based on this virtue, the other one will build up on it. So you should have this endurance. And then these 18, I divided them into 3 categories. First one, emotional. And he started in much endurance, in affliction, hardship, distress. Affliction is emotional pressure. Hardship is struggle in life. Distress is being in a situation that you cannot escape from it. I know I'm fast in it, but I encourage you to take your time and study these words. But he's saying in this emotional pressure, in the struggle in life, in being in a situation that you cannot escape, endure for a reason. And then he continues and he moves to a physical, and he say in beatings, imprisonment, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, and hunger. I think you know what this beating means. Hope you didn't experience it. And then in imprisonment. And Paul experienced all of these. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, he's saying, in far more labors, in far more imprisonment, beaten times without numbers, often in danger of death. Also, he's adding not just imprisonment, but tumults. Sometimes if you hear any negative things was told about you, you become crazy. What about a riot against you? Everyone is against you. And this was Paul lived, and we read this in the book of Acts. Then he continues, in labor, working hard, in sleeplessness, in hunger. In 1 Corinthians 4:11, Paul writes, to this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, he wrote also, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. So he's saying, all this I experience it, but this does not mean that we cannot endure it. Just endure it for the sake of Christ. Endure it as ambassador of Christ. And he continues in verses 6 and 7, and he adds, and now he moves to a spiritual attitude toward this, and he said, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapon of righteousness, for the right hand and the left. Let's start with the first four. He says, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness. What all these remind you of? The fruit of the Spirit. This is something, a result from a regeneration, a life of sanctification. This will come from inside, outside. It's nothing from outside. You should be in this position. This, as an ambassador, you should smell like this. The kindness, the patience, the purity. And then Paul knew that this position is a hard position and you need a power to do this. He continued, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God. Paul don't want to deceive anyone who's reading this. And he's saying you need to have a mod of operation. In order to do this, you should have this mod. And this mod is in the Holy Spirit. It is so easy to operate in our fleshly behavior. But this will not bring the fruit of the Spirit. He's saying you should operate in the Holy Spirit in genuine love. And to be in genuine love, it is so hard. It is so hard to love your enemies. It is so hard to love those who you try to serve them, but they hate you. But he's saying, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, you can do this. In the word of truth, in the power of God. Our endurance should be rooted in the word of truth. We are messenger of this truth. We need to know it. I will ask you a question. Do you know what is the difference between a taxi driver and a touristic guide? The taxi driver can take you to the pyramids or to the Colosseum, but he cannot tell you anything about it. He can point and tell you, this is the pyramids, and that's it. But a touristic guide, he knows the pyramids. He knows the history about it. He loved it. He studied it. He will tell you more about it. Why? Because he knows it. And he's serving it in a way. You go there knowing nothing about this culture. You leave this place knowing a lot of things about it, if you are concentrated. As ambassador, you should know the truth in order to proclaim the truth. So as ambassador of Christ, we know, we should know the truth, we should operate by the word of truth, and we should proclaim the word of truth in order to be a faithful ambassador. In our defense, in our endurance, the message should still the same, should be the same. And Paul is affirming, you cannot do this alone. It's a hard thing to do alone. That's why you need God's power. In verse 7, he say, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left hand. How is he fighting? Holding in both hands the weapon of righteousness, which is the truth. Our faith. This is the full armor of God that we read of in Ephesians 6:10. To be sent as an ambassador, you are to be in dark and sinful places in this world. It is not a camping trip. It is a tough position. And that's why Paul is starting in everything commending ourselves. And the English translation respect this emphasis. It is not commending ourselves in everything. It is in everything commending ourselves. He's putting this emphasis, saying that you need to know that in everything mean in everything. And that's why the catalyst of all this is endurance. So Paul is telling us how we can be a good ambassadors. And also he will tell us why we need to be a good ambassador. And in verse 3, he starts saying, giving no cause for offense in anything. Why? So that the ministry will not be discredited. So what we should do? In everything, commending ourselves as servant of God. The requirements are not there for nothing. The main purpose of it, not to cause the ministry to be discredited. You are servant of God. What do you do is not for yourself. It is for him. It is not about your reputation. It is for him. And you are to endure for his glory. And this is not the first time or the only time that Paul talks about the reputation of the ministry. If you remember with me, in Titus 2, Paul is sending for Titus to write for the church in Crete. And then he sent chapter 2, he's talking with the whole church in all categories. The older man, the older woman, the young man, the younger woman, and the slaves. And he's giving them instruction how they should conduct themselves in the church. And he gives 3 reasons for this. And these 3 reasons are related to the reputation of God's glory. In verse 5, Titus 2:5, he says, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. In verse 8, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And in verse 10, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. So what we do affect the ministry that we are involved in. And as ambassadors of Christ, we don't represent ourselves, we represent Christ. And that's why the reputation is key. What we do in church, outside the church, during ministry, in vacation, affect the reputation of the ministry. And that's why Paul, in verse 3, he starts giving no cause for offense in anything. And then in verse 4, but in everything, commending ourselves as servant of God. We should not be the cause of the offense. Paul is giving this warning because he knew that there will be challenges leading us to react sometimes in a sinful way. He's warning us way before, watch out. You should be in the mode of operation by the power of the Spirit, rooted in the truth founded in him. So we saw as ambassadors, we are to be reconciled to God as the prerequisite for this position. We are to keep in mind the privilege of this position, that you are working with him and for him. We are to be ready and well prepared to endure as requirements in this position. And now we move to our last point, the reward of this position. Every position and every job expect an appreciation. Every ambitious employee is striving for a promotion to get more paid or another reward. Paul is being realistic. He does not want us as readers to be deceived. He wants them and he wants us to fight knowing that this position is costly. While you have the privilege of serving with God as ambassador, your position entails being with people that will hate you, that will with people that will treat you as deceiver. You are living the message before them. You are proclaiming the message before them. But most of the time, this message will be an offensive message for them. And that's why Paul is being realistic. You are to be regarded in a different way. You will be treated badly by those who you want to serve with a loving heart. And sometimes people will appreciate what you did, because through your message or your proclamation, they got the gospel and they got saved. But a lot of time, they will refuse your message and they will refuse you. If all the people around you are clapping for you and agreeing with your message and saying amen to your message, it means your message have been compromised somewhere. One of our professors says, if you preach the gospel or you preach the Bible for a Jew and he say for you amen on every word, your message lacks the gospel of Jesus Christ. If a Roman Catholic agrees with you on everything you say, it means your message is compromised somewhere. Your message should confront the Jew, the Catholic, the Muslim, the atheist, and bring him to repentance. Your message should stay faithful no matter what the outcome is. It is his message. You are just an ambassador. You are just an ambassador. That's why Paul brings here the series of ministry paradox, as MacArthur called it, to show that the result of ministry depends. It's not one result. You do this and this and you will get this. But in verse 8, read with me in verse 8 through 10. And he says, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as known yet well unknown, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Well, it is hard to grasp this, but what Paul is saying, it doesn't matter what is the result. He's giving you all the options. What matter is that you should pleasing your boss. You are working for him, and because you are working from him, you need to please him, not your audience. You are his ambassador. And in Romans 8:38, Paul writes, for I am convinced that neither death, life, angel, principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, height, depth, other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the motives of Paul. He's taking this message as ambassador, no matter what is the result on earth. He doesn't care what will happen now. And Jesus told us, Jesus acknowledged that tribulation is expected, but he assures ultimate victory. In John 16:33, he said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writes, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Even Jesus, in Matthew 5:11, he said, blessed are you who people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all things evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, and it is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Paul is saying that you will be crushed. You will be treated harshly, but you should look beyond all this. And he said the same thing in 2 Corinthians 4, a few chapters before our passage today. And he said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not forsaken. And then he continued in verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Yesterday is hard, but the reward is coming. And our reward is eternal. While we can enjoy the reward that is today, because we are making many poor rich, and we are seeing people's life change, but sometimes this will not happen. But we should keep our eyes looking for our eternal reward. So we took this position once we've been reconciled. We are to work knowing that affliction will appear. We have to keep in mind that our true reward is in heaven, not on earth. Paul, what about retirement? Is there a day off? When we can stop? Can we have a break? Give us more, Paul. And Paul is answering. In verse 8, he said, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report. This is a job without vacation. It is a job without day off. It is not about you keep doing it while you are receiving good feedback. Not at all. He's saying people will not appreciate you. There will be those who will bring evil report against you. And when you see this, what do? You continue. And when people will praise you and will say, thank you that you're doing this, what do? You continue. There is no retirement on this earth. You keep doing this, not as an obligation, but as a joy working with him to proclaim the truth around the world, until he takes you and you graduate and you will be with him in this eternal reward. As ambassador, the prerequisite for this position was our reconciliation with God. The privilege of this position, that you are working with God. The requirement is that we endure hardship with the power of God. And the reward of this position is not on earth, but with him in eternity. I will not ask you if you are an ambassador, because if you are saved, you technically, you are an ambassador. But I will ask you, are you an active ambassador? I'm talking about myself and you. Am I taking the responsibility of my position seriously? Am I pleasing my boss? Every good company conducts at least one time a year a performance evaluation or a year-end review. And this review should have inside the job performance, the goal achievements, strength and area of improvement, attitude and teamwork, potential for promotion or raise. If today our heavenly boss will conduct this evaluation on my life and your life, what kind of report will come? Brothers and sisters, let us examine ourselves, rejoicing in this position, that it is a privilege for us to be ambassadors of Christ. Let's work hard to the one who bought us and made us his children and also his ambassadors. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that you send your Son, not just as a story, Lord, but as a truth. We believe that you sent him and you made him to be sin on our behalf. Today we stand after his resurrection in righteousness before you because of his righteousness. Lord, thank you for what you did in our life. You brought us, you adopted us, you made us your children, and also you commanded us to go as ambassador. What a privilege, Lord. We ask you that you forgive us, and every time we were not active, we ask you that you give us this power to be in this word, in this dark word, good, faithful ambassador for your glory, presenting you, not causing any bad reputation for your name and for the ministry. We love you. We thank you for this privilege. We need your power. We cannot do it alone. We thank you for your word, for your living word that is teaching us. Thank you for your Spirit. Change in our life, Lord. Change in our life so that we please you in everything we do for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.